Welcome to the NLP UK Training Podcast. I'm Callie Fraser.
And I'm Steve Kay.
And today we're going to be talking about the principles that underpin NLP.
And principles that really underpin how we experience life.
Absolutely.
So we'll backtrack a little bit. And there was a Scottish welder from Glasgow called Sid Banks. And he emigrated to Canada.
He did.
And he got talking. Well, one day, apparently, he had an insight into the way we experience life. And he was a very stressed guy. He used to get angry, apparently. And one day he had an insight into the way we experience life. And some of the terms he uses can be a little bit confusing, so we'll make it really, really simple. But he believed that we experience life through our perceptual system, which is basically we project out, which we talked about in an earlier episode. We project out from our minds everything that we see, hear, feel, and touch. And based on our script, we project out, and rather than seeing the world through like two little screens, we're actually running a projection. And he called that projection thought, not individual thinking words, but the principle of thought, which is your perceptual system and your script, really. And how it works is you can only project out what's in your script. You can only project out and see people and see things that are in your script, which is why we all have a different take on what's going on. And also why sometimes you can see someone in the street and you think, oh, hi. And they turn around and it's not them, the person you projected that you thought it was. Then the other way we experience life is through the levels of neurology we have, or levels of consciousness. So if you think back to 500 years ago, Henry VIII's time, they used to do all sorts of nasty things to people, like sticking their heads in boiling oil and decapitating them and other nasty things. So do you think they had the same level of neurology and consciousness that we have now? They probably didn't.
No. Because that was just normal in those times.
And even going back 10 years ago, in our country, we'd only just got gay marriage, hadn't we?
Absolutely.
We'd only just got same-sex marriage. And now it's kind of...
just normal. Like,
it's just normal.
Yeah.
Whereas 10 years ago, it wasn't. It was new. And the very first day, I think, that they could do it, lots of people, some famous people, all booked for the first day and had their weddings, which was lovely. 50 years ago, homosexual acts were an offence.
Yeah, they were illegal.
They were illegal.
Seems crackers now,
doesn't it? It was crazy, crazy, crazy. So all through the human race is evolving, we develop our levels of consciousness. So Sid had these three principles. One is that we experience life through thought, in other words, our perceptual system, and what's contained in our script, model of the world. Secondly, from our level of consciousness, in other words, the level we've evolved to. So people's levels of consciousness 200 years ago were very different to the way they are today. And even 50 years ago, even 10 years ago, they're very, very different. And then finally, there was something called mind. And Sid believed that there was some powerful force called mind, which we could all tap into. And that's the same as the inner wisdom or the self too that we talked about on our podcast number 12 a few weeks ago. So we have mind, consciousness, and thought. But that's how we experience everything. So just an example, coaching uses inner wisdom or mind for the coachee to tap into to get insights, rather than using their ego or self-one. So we have like a personal mind, which is your ego, and inner wisdom, which is like, who understands it? I don't know, but we have this thing we tap into, which is how we learn to walk and talk. And like we said, babies don't learn to talk. Well, they learn to talk, they don't get taught to talk. And we have the ability to learn to walk as well. Nobody teaches to take one step in front of another. So coaching, the way coaching works and how coaching works is through the principle, if you like, of inner wisdom. And inner wisdom can provide the resources for us to set the right goals, provide a direction for us. So it's really useful for coaching, which is why it underpins coaching and NLP. The consciousness is the same as the values levels that we talk about at Master Practitioner. So we have values levels from one, where we're just about surviving, feeding, fighting, fleeing, to level two, where we started living in tribes 40,000 years ago, to level three, where we started developing the self, to level four, where we started, everything was done by the book. We have laws, we have regulations. Some factories and workplaces and schools are all very level four. There's a way of doing things. Be grateful for what you've got. And then we had level five, which is all about the self and all about achieving things for oneself. And then level six is kind of about, well, there must be more to life than just a BMW and a Rolex and an Omega and some Jimmy shoes. So what can I do to support the planet? What can I do for my environment? And then level seven, which is where people are finding their truest self. So that really fits in with the values that we teach on Master Practitioner. But it's the way we experience everything. We have how we experience life is through consciousness. You know, how we are aware of things, and how we experience what's going on around us. How we experience emotion comes from the perceptual system and thought.
It's very much about what's going on inside rather than what's going on outside, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, for example, the principle of thought would be that my experience of someone who the old paradigm, if you like, would be X causes me to feel upset. She makes me angry. He makes me angry. She does this, he does that, that makes me feel. Whereas with this, it's more inside out. So my experience is coming from inside. So I used to say, oh, it's only thought. And I used to try and explain this to people by saying, it's just thought. And sometimes people would get that, they would land. But other time people would confuse the term thought, your perceptual system, in fact, your experience coming from within you, to it's just your thinking, which is not, it's not cognitive behavioral thing.
Yeah.
It's not cognitive. It's just a word for the principle of the way we experience stuff that's going around us, because it's actually projected out.
But it can feel sometimes that thing outside of us is what's making us feel, whether it's happy, sad,
yeah,
angry, and it can feel very real, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, you know, when it was 40, 50,000 years ago, you know, if we walk along in our, whatever you walk 40,000 years ago, and we saw a dangerous animal or someone from another tribe that we didn't recognize, we would think the threat was coming from them. And so it's for self-protection.
Absolutely.
Whereas now we kind of don't need that. Our neurology has developed, our consciousness levels have developed, so we don't need to feel that threat. But it still feels like it. It's like we say the sun's coming up, don't we? The sun's coming up in the morning and it looks like the sun's coming up, but actually the earth's revolving around the sun, but it looks like the sun's coming up. So it looks like the sun's coming up. It looks like they're making you angry. It looks like the politicians are making me feel this or the politicians are making me feel that. But really, we can only experience what's going on in the now. Same with when you think, oh, I've got something coming up in 2 weeks' time. I feel a bit nervous about it. Well, that's your experience is happening now. So as long as you kind of recognize that, well, actually, that's coming from me. That's not coming from that thing over there or in 3 weeks' time. That's just coming from where I am now.
Well, I think that can be very empowering. We talked in one of the earlier episodes about when I got diagnosed with arthritis. And I can remember at the time feeling like this was the absolute end of the world.
Yeah.
This condition that I was being diagnosed with caused me to feel really sad, really upset, quite scared about what my future would be.
Yeah.
But actually, one of the things that this has taught me is that, you know, back then I felt all those emotions. Now I don't. Yeah. But I've still got the same condition.
Yeah.
So what's different? It must be coming from inside of me if I can feel differently about that's the same
right.
thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is really, really empowering, isn't it?
Well, it's like back in, I think it was episode 10, we talked very jokingly, we touched on this subject and we talked about your Jimmy Choo shoes and me watching football. And you saying, I said the anger comes from the pitch, or you said, does the anger come from the pitch? And then we had a debate about some people getting more upset in football than other people. And you said, ah, so do different football stadiums have different feelings? Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, have a listen to that one again, because it's good to give a grounding for this. But the whole point with NLP is that NLP gives you a set of stuff to use. Whereas the principles that underpin it, if you get those principles, then any limiting belief must come from your perceptual system and your script, or thought, as Sid would call it. Which is fascinating, because it means that if we can get somebody to their true self before the script started being built up, we can maybe even get rid of limiting beliefs without having to do timeline therapy or some modalities and stuff like that, which is fascinating. But that's for another podcast, where we talk about coaching using the principles. So have you used this principle stuff? Have you used thought, mind, consciousness? Or can I tell you how my experience?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So I started reading up on it in 2016, quite a long time ago now. And then I listened to some of Jamie Smart's podcasts in my car when I got a new car. And I started getting it more and more. But I was still going, it's just thought, it's only thought, and it was working. What was happening was things that seemed really important were just dissolving. So we live near where the planned HS2 is going to be, the planned second phase or third phase. And when they announced that, I spent couple of days, right, really worried about it. Like, God, it's going to be so disruptive. It's going to ruin the area where we live. The road's going to be closed for 2 years, blah, 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 blah. And then I remembered that actually my experience is coming from inside. It's thought. And it seemed to just like dissolve. Mm-hmm. And ever since, that was 3 years ago, ever since, I've not once been bothered about watching on the news, oh, they might buy HS2 from Birmingham to East Midlands Parkway or something. It's never bothered me at all. It's just gone. Whereas for a couple of days, it really bothered me. So that was 3 years ago. And I've been delving more and more into it. And in fact, we're going to be doing a program next year, a coaching program, specifically designed around the three principles and how you can get results really, really quickly as a coach. And as I've been doing it since, I don't know, March, April time, I found that I've got a much quieter mind. I don't let things bother me. Except what was happening was my mind was really quiet. So when someone else was really busy, it like bothered me until I realized that, okay, so my mind's really quiet. I'm setting goals from that quiet mind. But their mind's really busy and it's annoying.
And where was that coming from, Steve?
Well, exactly. It took me a good couple of months to get it though. And I realized then that they're having a busy mind. The only way that it can't be coming from them, it can only be coming from inside me. That it's my personal experience it's coming from. So that was good because then it was like, it's just the goggles they're wearing.
Yeah.
What else? Things in the future, like the business current account statement, or will this work come through? Well, might do, might not. My Pride and Joy car was off the road for a month in the summer with a massive electrical problem that couldn't be resolved. And like, when will you get your car back? Now, the old me would have been phoning up the Audi dealer and saying, when's my car in? When's my car coming back? When are you doing this? When are you doing that? But like, I wasn't bothered. Like, well, it'll happen. And I was only thinking about the fact that I was training on Microsoft Teams, doing Prac and Master Prac. I wasn't thinking about the future. Didn't bother me at all. And I remember I got some good news. And the car's ready. The car's fixed. It's just going to be washed. And Dawn said, aren't you pleased? And I said, it's kind of, you know, it's done, it's done. And an hour later, I got another call. Oh, we found another fault in the car. It's going back in. Might be a few more days. So even the delight wasn't, you know. So I found I've got a much quieter mind.